The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Haven't said that in a while. Great to have Ray on the other side of the glass, producing and engineering the Buckmaster Show. And together we welcome you to our program on the first day of October 2020. It won't feel like the first day of October as we push toward an all-time high here. I think 104 is the hottest temperature ever recorded in October, and that's the record for today. They're calling 103, so we'll be close. It's Buckmaster bringing people together in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback. We take the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. Steve, how are you today?
I'm just fine, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. You must be just delighted with this news that many of our downtown businesses are reopening today, and they have a sticker on the door ready for you. This is an emblem that has been issued from the Pima County Health Department. Your reaction?
Well, I have some significant issues with the whole process that I'm in the process of looking into as how this situation has evolved. There's some issues with the stickers and the naming of businesses on a couple of websites that the health department puts up, and it's kind of confusing on one side because we've noticed that those who are not in compliance with the health department regulations, their names are posted on there, and there's several businesses that have complied with the health department, and their names, there's the same names are on that list. So I think there needs to be some better and deeper investigation into how this Ready for You process is being played out. It also allows for a number of situations that have unintended consequences, like allowing people, anonymous people, post complaints about these restaurants and businesses that are unfounded and uncorroborated, and there's no way for the business to defend themselves about them. So I'm very wary about this whole process. I have some deep concerns about them. And I think as things progress, there's going to need to be some significant reformation in the whole process.
Are you disappointed we even went down this road with a, for want of a better phrase, tell on your neighbor, a tattletale hotline? Why did we even go that way? Is that a question that you're asking right now?
That is the question I'm asking right now, and I'm not alone. And I'm very disappointed that this was, again, kind of a rush to find an element that could carry on the proclamations of the county and the Board of Supervisors that caused these businesses to have to endure these god-awful threats and intimidating posts that are on there, threatening employees and businesses and business owners. And there's no defense installed, and there's no way really for the business owner to see what kind of complaint they are. Are they legitimate? Are they a disgruntled customer, a former employee, just someone mad? A number of these complaints are from out of state. This is not a very accurate or equitable way for the community to react to situations when the Department of Health has determined that a business or a restaurant is not in compliance. So I'm very sad that we started this snitch on your neighbor type of approach. It's wrong, it's divisive, and it's unfair to the business owners, and it cannot be substantiated in any way that these claims are true and valid. And then once you get on that list where you're not in compliance, it takes way too long to get off that list when you do go into compliance. And now there's evidence that you may still be in non-compliance when you are supposed to be in compliance. It's very confusing, very ham-fisted, and needs deep reformation.
Will you be bringing this up at the next board meeting that now is the time to pull the plug on this?
I will be definitely looking for opportunities to have this discussion and, if possible, an action item dealing exactly with this subject.
When is the next board meeting?
Tuesday.
Okay, so you're going to try to bring this up on Tuesday. It sounds like you are just really, really disappointed the way this whole thing has gone down.
Well, I have been from day one. I voiced my opposition to the punitive, corrosive manner in which I think a single industry has been targeted, and that's the restaurant industry. You don't see a wall of shame for, let's say, Walgreens. You don't see a wall of shame for a bakery or any kind of a grocery store like Safeway or anything like that. It seems that they've decided that restaurants are the areas that need to be most punitively dealt with. And unfortunately, they're the ones that are suffering the most. And it seems very strange that the restaurant industry is the only industry that's being targeted in such a manner.
Let's go to the live line. Ingrid has called us at 790-2040. She would like to weigh in on this discussion. Go ahead, Ingrid.
I'm very sorry to have to say this, but to a large extent, I do believe that our government bureaucracy is incompetent. You get these mistakes constantly, and in some cases, actually uncaring. And there are other facilities that need to be looked at, including gyms, physical therapy centers, to see what's going on.
Okay, Ingrid, thank you. I think Ingrid is probably speaking for a lot of people. She thinks government has really dropped the ball here.
Well, not only has it dropped the ball, but it's this, as I say, this rush to find a plan to implement some sort of control over these businesses that have led to such drastic unintended consequences that have just devastated the restaurant community. For instance, you know, something as what everybody thinks might be kind of an easier way to negotiate restaurant businesses, like saying, well, we're going to allow you to reopen to 25% of your in-house, under roof dining ability. Well, what you're really saying is, we're not going to let you make 75% of your business. We're not going to let you make 75% of your profits. No restaurant can survive on not having 75% of its profits or only having 25% of its profits. And I think the most frustrating, aggravating example that I've felt on the Board of Supervisors through this whole discussion going back as many months as this pandemic has existed and the proclamations have existed is the majority on the board who have been in favor of instituting these proclamations and insertions of government regulation and how a restaurant operates is that they will not acknowledge the pain, the suffering, the extreme devastation that a business owner has been put through and is going through trying to navigate all of these myriad regulations. None of them have had a business. None of them have owned a business. None of them know what it's like to sign the front of a paycheck. They've only signed the back of a paycheck. And when you wake up at 3 o'clock on a Thursday morning and realize that at 7 that same morning, your payroll is due and you don't have any money in the bank, that's a horrible thing that businesses have to deal with. And this has just been exasperated to the point where I don't understand how businesses are even able to hold on that are under these proclamations. And I think I told you this before, I've heard somewhere between 20% and 40% of all restaurant or food service industries are not going to come back at all. And this is devastating to the employees in the food service industry, the waiters, the wait staff, the cooks, the busboys, all of these folks who desperately need jobs won't have them.
It's a very bad situation, and restaurants really trying to hang on. Steve, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for joining us today, Steve Christie.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right, one restaurant that we're very proud of and we welcome them back to us is Mona's Danish Bakery. They have survived these hard times, and they are thriving, and I am so delighted to welcome them back to the Buckmaster team. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home, of course, of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is open for breakfast, lunch, with indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickup are always welcome. Mona's is open Monday to Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Sundays 7 to 2. We were over there last Sunday morning, out on the patio enjoying breakfast at Mona's, and a lot of other people there with us had the same idea. The mornings are still so delightful, and it was nice to sit outside. See you at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Man, are they growing. I'm telling you, when you've got dozens of greenhouses and every imaginable plant on their 13-acre site over at 3384 East River Road, and a lot of people, including myself, looking to the fall and the cooler temperatures for some color in the backyard garden. So check out Green Things and, of course, Zocalo with that extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lots of home accessories. So you've got Zocalo and Green Things all on one beautiful 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line as we continue with our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series. Brendan Lyons is with us. Brendan, how are you? You're running, you're one of three candidates running for the Arizona State Legislature in District Number 9. You are the Republican and you are up against the two Democratic incumbents. How are you doing, sir?
Bill, it's an absolute pleasure to be with you once again on your show. I'm doing fabulous and very, very enthused about this race.
Tell our listeners a little bit about your story, and it is a very interesting story, to say the least. You were a firefighter, and a lot changed for you one particular very dreadful day, but there was a happy ending to this story. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable story. I grew up wanting to be a firefighter here in town. I grew up here in southern Arizona, went to both public and private education. It was my first grade school teacher that had us recite a poem every time we heard sirens screaming en route to a call. Little flower, at this hour, show your power. And ever since that day, I wanted to grow up wanting to become a firefighter, and I did so, working here in southern Arizona. And on the job, we often responded to the very tragic consequences of distracted driving, and it compelled me to take action and launch a nonprofit here in southern Arizona, bringing it down from Boise, Idaho, through an organization called Look Save a Life, which has been the conduit that has introduced me to countless families that have lost loved ones due to the negligence of drivers on our roads, looking at their cell phone or just simply not paying attention. And in a twist of irony, a year after launching that, in October of 2013, coming up on my anniversary, a motorist at 45 miles an hour looked down at their cell phone to see who was calling, drifted in the bike lane on the morning of my girlfriend's birthday, and we were both struck from behind, sustaining 6 fractured vertebrae. I sustained a fractured pelvis. I bit off half of my tongue from clenching down upon impact. And Bill, as I'm laid up in a hospital bed, it was former state senator, Democrat, Steve Farley, and former state representative, Republican Ethan Orr, who came to my hospital bedside, and we discussed ways in which to legislate distracted driving through a pretty big press conference at the time. And throughout my recovery, I took action. I went up to the state capitol to testify in committees year after year in trying to get this piece of legislation passed. Well, 2013, 14, and 15, the state failed to take action and do anything. And so I turned my efforts locally. I've helped about 10 to 15 jurisdictions from around the state, including right here in southern Arizona with Pima County, City of Tucson, and Oro Valley, in passing ordinances on hands-free distracted driving. Well, 6 years after my crash, in an effort to work with both Republicans and Democrats, Governor Doug Ducey signed Arizona's hands-free distracted driving law. Well, throughout that time, I was studied here at the University of Arizona, receiving a master's in public administration, focusing in collaborative governance. And Bill, I believe that's what we're missing in society today. People who can work together, no matter your party affiliation, you need to work together to solve problems. And that's what's compelled me to throw my hat in the ring as a state to potentially earn state representative for District 9.
Your many trips to the Capitol, did that inspire this run really for this to become a state lawmaker?
You know, it did. That and the many relationships that I've built. I saw individually, any one of us have the ability to make a difference. But collectively, we have the capacity to create change. And, I mean, again, I've worked with both Democrats and Republicans, and I was really empowered to utilize my voice. And there's many other issues as it pertains to education, public safety, and growing jobs in our economy that has really inspired me to run.
What is at the top of the priority list, Mr. Lyons?
Well, I think I'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge COVID, right? And so many businesses are suffering. There's been a health pandemic that's taking place, and looking at healthcare, making sure that those with pre-existing conditions are taken care of. But jobs in the economy, rebuilding that, if it wasn't for our pro-business legislators that have served in office year after year, we would not have had the billion-dollar surplus or the billion-dollar rainy day contingency fund that our state had prior to COVID. It's really something to be proud of, that Arizona has been one of the fastest growing states for growing jobs in our economy. And I think, you know, living here in Southern Arizona, I love to continue that, because when you grow jobs, you grow our tax base, and you're able to fund important things like education, fund infrastructure projects to better our roads here in Southern Arizona. And, you know, there's a narrative that's taking place right now about defunding our police. Well, Bill, I got to tell you, I don't believe in defunding our police. I believe in defending our police. And while holding bad actors accountable, what happened in Minneapolis should not have happened. And, I see out of as a former firefighter, I care deeply about the men and women who serve, not just for public safety and first responders, but our frontline healthcare professionals and what they're having to deal with this pandemic.
We're speaking with Brandon Lyons. Brandon is running for legislative district number 9. He's in a 3-way race. Of course, the two top vote getters, when you have 3 candidates, the top 2 will become the Arizona State Representatives in Legislative District 9, as that new session will begin in January. And that's going to be an incredibly important session, because it will be the first time that lawmakers have really gotten back together since they adjourned because really of COVID-19. It was kind of a hurry up and adjourn and get back to their districts. It was a very difficult time. But at the top of the list is, how is this state ever going to recover from this big hit? And it's going to be a huge task, isn't it?
It sure will. We need to bring back jobs. We need to rebuild our economy. We need to improve education. We need to support the quality, low-cost health care. We have to improve public safety, and we must improve our infrastructure.
How can we have better roads in this state? How do we improve the infrastructure? And I know you've been really very much trying to make roads safer for not only cyclists, but pedestrians as well.
You're absolutely right, Bill, and we need to review our current state funding models to make sure that Southern Arizona is getting its fair share. I mean, we have what's called the HERF policy, which is our gas tax, and because Pima County is so largely unincorporated, we see few of those dollars back. Well, I want to make sure that Southern Arizona gets its fair share. We all drive on our roads. I live here in Southern Arizona alongside all of you, and I see how terrible our roads are. We got to make sure that those dollars are there.
I want to talk a little bit about your recovery from that horrible accident. I'll tell you, I kind of cringed when I heard you say that you bit off, what was it, half of your tongue? I mean, that just seems so hard to even think about right now. How did that recovery process go for you? I'm curious.
You know, that recovery process, I equated to, I'm a cyclist, and it's like climbing a mountain. You know, it's a long road, and it's much like this campaign, is you have to grind it out. You have to do everything you can, but you can't sit and dwell. You have to go out and make a positive difference, a positive change, and you have to improve yourself both physically, cognitively, and try to make this world a better place so that these kind of things don't happen to other people. But it was a long road to recovery, and one that I'm very, very proud of. It was hard, Bill. Quite frankly, the recovery was hard.
How long did the recovery take? I'm curious, from the time of the accident. I don't know if you're ever really back to normal after something like that, but what kind of chronology are we talking about?
Yeah, so some of the injuries, like I said, you acknowledge that I bit off half my tongue. There was a vascular surgeon that had to actually stitch my tongue back together. The back of my quadricep, that same vascular surgeon said it looked like a shark bite that had bitten the back of my leg. I was laid up in a hospital bed for a little less than a month. I was in a wheelchair for quite some time. Early on, I didn't know if I would walk again. And, 6 months later, I'd have to go and try to relearn to even drive again and get cleared to do that. So I wasn't a liability on our road. These are the important things. And finally, 2 years later, going through physical recovery, occupational therapy, it was endless. It was hard. And, so I know what a tough road is like, and this campaign is no different. It's a fight.
Brendan Lyons, tell us about your website, where people can find out more information about your campaign.
Thank you so much. You may visit my website at Lyons, that's LYONS, the number 4AZ.com. That's Lyons 4AZ.com. And, I do want to make a quick point here. That on my website, you'll find that, I am running as a Republican, but I have not been endorsed by only Republicans. I've been endorsed by both Democrats and Republicans for having the ability to work together. And I think if these trying times showcase anything, we need to have more of that in society.
All right. Thank you very much. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Guests appear on the live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management, coming up on the halfway point of the Buckmaster Show on this first day of October. Coming up next on the live line, Jim Click joins us, talking a little bit about philanthropy in this community. Be right back.
CBS News Brief. Furloughs have begun in the airline industry. United and American have laid off more than 32,000. Travel editor Peter Greenberg blames the pandemic.
The airlines are expected to drop as many as 90 cities from their route network. Of course, all of this can be reversed if Congress moves forward with another $25 billion aid package, which could keep the airlines flying through March.
About a relief bill, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer contends.
Look, we want an agreement, but it's got to meet the needs of the American people.
House Speaker
Pelosi.
There
are a lot of places right now where the offer by Secretary Mnuchin doesn't do that.
House Speaker Pelosi in talks with the Treasury Secretary now. Early voting is underway in several states, including Chicago. Adanya Collins cast her ballot.
I'm afraid of a returning president, so it's more important for me to take the chance and the risk to make sure that vote is counted.
President Trump questioning changes to the next two debates. He asks why he should allow it when he easily won Tuesday. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on this first day of October. This portion of the program presented by our good friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of the Buckmaster Show listeners over to that beautiful area of New Mexico. And I'll tell you, a lot of people just counting the days when New Mexico will once again reopen to out-of-state visitors, but there's nothing to stop you from, and I hope you do it, start planning for your visit. And the best way to do it is to visit their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of great tips on what to do and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Jim Click. Mr. Click, once again getting ready for the Millions for Tucson raffle that Jim Click sponsors every year that really brings in big bucks for local charities. Jim, how are you?
Bill, I'm just great, and I enjoyed listening to the commercials the last couple of minutes. And those people over in Silver City, I want to say hello. That is a beautiful part of New Mexico, and of course, we've got some beautiful parks right here in southern Arizona, too, Bill.
We certainly do, and I'll be, every October, we try to do a little leaf peeping, and we'll be going up to the White Mountains in mid-October, then come back via the Sedona area. That drive from Flagstaff to Sedona is just so beautiful with the autumn leaves, so we have some great places to visit, Jim Click, here in Arizona. Now,
Yes, sir, Bill.
Let's talk a little bit about this year's raffle. And folks who don't know, this is the 11th year. Jim, how does it work?
Well, Bill, what we do is several years ago, we wanted to provide a way for any charity in southern Arizona, as long as they got a 501c3, to try to raise some additional funds for their organizations. You and I both know that Tucson is a needy community. We've got some unbelievable, wonderful agencies that provide tremendous service to the less fortunate. And I heard a commercial just now about dogs. So as long as they're a 501c3, I think we started with the little Thunderbird that was reintroduced 10 or 15 years ago. And we thought, why don't we just let any charity sell tickets to this Thunderbird? We'll give the Thunderbird, we'll print the tickets, and basically all the charity has to do, Bill, is sell the tickets. And so, as you know, we've raised probably about $8 million in the last 6 years. The raffles have raised $1 million a year, so therefore the term a million for Tucson raffle. Now, when we first started, we weren't quite as successful, but you know, after you get it down, you repeat it. And by the way, I have to tell you that Matt Russell and his team at Russell Public Relations, they do a great job. They help us print the tickets. They do a lot of marketing online for the different organizations. We provided sales classes for the different charities if they need a little tip on selling their organization. So it really is easy for the nonprofits to participate. Now, this year with COVID, I just want to tell everybody in Tucson that, you know, some of our charities have struggled. So I would encourage everybody, Bill, to, if they want to help an organization, go online to millionsfortucson.org, and there's 300 charities that they can pick from. And then we print, I guess, 100,000 tickets. We've given out 66,000. So if there's a charity that's not participating, there's still time to do it this year. I think we close it out early December, then we give the car away, the truck away, a year later. So, and we decided to, I know I'm probably talking too much for you, Bill. When you ask a car dealer to start talking, he doesn't know when to shut up.
Well, I think it is important to hear that that these charities, that were so much in need, of course, during COVID, but they keep 100% of what they raise through the ticket sales with no set-asides or holdbacks for administration. And the CLIC organization pays for all the materials, the flyers, the tickets, the banners, and the program support. So it's really important to help out our charities. Have you decided on the vehicle that will be given away?
Yes, sir, we have. And we announced it at the zoo back in January, and it was probably the most well-received prize that we've ever put up. And it's a new Ford F-150 Platinum, which is, I don't know, it's a $70,000 or $80,000 truck, I think. And it really, the people got excited, you know. I'll put a little plug in here for the Ford F-150. It's a best-selling vehicle in America for 40 to 45 years in a row. So it generated a lot of attention, a lot of enthusiasm. And, Bill, a couple of years ago, someone said, why don't we put up two more prizes? So for second place, it's two round-trip first-class tickets anywhere in the world.
Wow.
There are some restrictions. You got to give me a little time to get it done. I've got enough miles that, you know, it really is pretty inexpensive for our company since we have the airline miles. So,
sure.
And then the third place is $5,000 in cash. And I think one of the most fun things for me is calling the people. We have a big meeting during the TCC sale, and we invite all the charities down. And I have to tell you something, Bill. You talk about heartwarming. When you're sitting in front of 100 to 200 people who are doing, you know, I always tell them, you're where the rubber hits the road. You're out there providing these services every single day. People writing a check is easy, but what these people are out there volunteering the community, and there's so many causes, I can't mention them all, but for me to be able to meet these people and get the feedback from them on what it means to a lady who puts wreaths on fallen soldiers' graves. She's a Gold Star mom, and she lost her son, Sharon Jones, and just for her, and she's a one-person organization, and I think she raises quite a bit of money every year. And then I think last year we had an organization that sold over $100,000.
Yeah, there are a lot of success stories for sure, and a lot of people in Tucson would love to see themselves in that vehicle for sure, I'll tell you.
Well, that's right. The F-150, and you know what? And hopefully we'll get behind this pandemic with the COVID. So if somebody wins the round, and there's no time limit on it.
Sure.
So hopefully people will be able to travel in the next year or so. So there's no time limit on the
big trip
to airline tickets.
Yeah.
No. And I don't even know if the person last year got to take it as a result of COVID. And if not, we're not ever going to, as long as I'm alive, we're going to make sure that they can do it.
So, All right, Jim CLIC, we're going to let you go, and I want to give that website once again. It's millionsfortucson.org. Jim, thank you very much for telling your story.
Bill, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on, and hello to all my friends in Tucson, and God bless all of them. This is a great community. I love it from the bottom of my heart. And Bill, thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Jim CLIC with us. And again, that's millionsfortucson.org. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Mr. CLIC on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Don Luce, Attorney Mr. Luce in the green room, ready to come in to the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this first day of October. I know it doesn't feel like it as we push toward 103 degrees today. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our guests appear on the Buckmaster Show live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we are delighted to welcome in studio attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with beautiful offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Doing Well, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. That non-lawyers is very important. This is not written just for the legal profession. In fact, it's written specifically for the consumer. And then Real Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don Luce, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
Boy, we've got a lot to cover today. This is a bit unusual, this election cycle, in that we only have really two marquee measures on the ballot.
You're right. Your listeners will remember in election years past where we've had at times more than 10 proposals on the ballot.
I can remember a year with a dozen.
Yeah, exactly.
Arizona
is very proactive in enacting citizen initiatives. So if you can gather enough signatures, and just for the record, that's about 250,000, more or less. It's 237,000 and change. You can put a citizen initiative on the ballot, and if you can get more than 50% of the vote, that proposal will become law. And so that's what's happened during this election, but we only have two. But the two that we have are significant. One has to do with legalizing marijuana for recreational use. That's Prop 207. And the other has to do with putting more money towards education by increasing taxes on the most wealthy. That's Prop 208. Both of those initiatives are on the ballot because petitions were circulated last year in this, and the circulators collected the requisite number of signatures. And so now the voters are going to have a chance to determine whether those two proposals or either of them become law.
Well, there was a lot of contention about getting them on the ballot, and this legal challenge went all the way to the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court.
It did. And so the way that works legally is that once the petitions have been circulated and the requisite number of signatures have been obtained by the circulators, any interested person, basically any citizen of the state of Arizona who has an interest in the matter, can challenge the petitions. And the challenges typically concern every single proposal. Some of the proposals that were talked about several months ago did not make their way to the ballot. The medical marijuana initiative was challenged in court. The opponents said that the title of the initiative was misleading, and by law, the title can only contain 100 words or less. The court did not agree with the argument. The same argument was made with respect to the education initiative. In addition, the people who were opposed to it said that they didn't agree with the way that the circulators were being paid to collect signatures. Interestingly, in that instance, the trial court agreed with the opponents and ordered that the initiative not appear on the ballot. The Arizona Supreme Court, however, shortly thereafter, by a unanimous decision, reversed the trial court and said essentially that there was no problem with the way the circulators were compensated, and also the 100-word description of the proposal was not significantly misleading, at least not misleading enough to knock it off the ballot. So there you go.
So Proposition 207 goes beyond medical marijuana. This is recreational marijuana for anybody?
Exactly. Well, not anybody.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
21 years of age
21.
Or older.
Okay.
So under this proposal, if it passes, and there's a fair chance that it will, it would allow adults 21 years of age or older to possess and use up to 1 ounce of marijuana, and to cultivate for personal use up to 6 marijuana plants at the primary residence.
So really? You could grow your own?
You can grow your own. And my guess would be if this ballot proposal passes, a lot of people are going to grow their own. It also does other things, though, and this is where it gets, I think, a little more interesting. It bans smoking marijuana in public places and open spaces. So, you know, the concerns that people had with regard to the medical marijuana proposal, which passed in 2010, which in some respects was, hey, look, I don't want somebody, you know, sitting on the balcony next to mine smoking marijuana. Under Prop 207, it is banned in public places and open spaces. This proposal would amend the criminal classifications and penalties for marijuana possession, because, as you know, currently it is a crime to possess, use, sell, or dispose of marijuana.
Is it a felony?
Depends on the amount.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This proposal. This is very significant. It is going to generate revenue for the state of Arizona.
How much?
By some predictions, up to $300 million in new revenue.
Wow.
That's from a 16% excise tax on marijuana sales. Now, that revenue is earmarked to fund community colleges, public safety, public health programs. It would also authorize state and local regulation of the sale and production of marijuana by a specified number of licensees. So the people who are growing it for retail sale have to be licensed, and it would be limited. And then this proposal would also allow the courts to vacate and expunge certain marijuana arrest charges and convictions or sentences that had already been imposed. So under this proposal, in certain cases, if there is a criminal conviction based on marijuana possession, that sentence and conviction could be expunged under this law.
I have a couple of quick questions, then we'll move on to education. Marijuana smoking at work, and what about driving?
Okay. With regard to workplace, this proposal would not tie the hands of employers from discharging employees who show up impaired. Okay, so merely because marijuana would not be illegal to consume doesn't translate to I can show up at work stoned. If you show up at work stoned, your employer would still have the right to terminate you. With regard to driving, there's a there's basically a threshold that is used for determining whether to arrest someone for impaired driving, and that is if they exhibit signs of impairment, whether it's by alcohol, marijuana, or other drugs. It doesn't matter. A marijuana user, like an alcohol user, would not be permitted to operate a motor vehicle while impaired. So that would stay in place. The metabolite itself stays in the human body for a long period of time. So the existence of the metabolite alone is not determinative. It's whether the person appears to be impaired while operating a motor vehicle that's determinative.
We had a caller wondering about a neighbor outside smoking marijuana on a balcony and in an apartment. What would the situation be if this passed?
Okay, so the plain language of the proposal is that smoking marijuana in public places and open spaces is prohibited. So it would be determined by the configuration of the space. If the space was considered to be an open space, then it would be prohibited by this initiative if it becomes law.
Prop 208 would tax the very wealthy. We keep hearing that. And we've done a couple of interviews with the pro and con on this. And when we say very wealthy, Don Luce, what is that? What are we talking about?
We're talking about an individual who earns more than $250,000 a year, or a married couple filing jointly who earn more than $500,000 a year. Those individuals are considered very wealthy. And if Prop 208 does pass, then their taxes are going to go up. Now, interestingly, if an individual does not meet those income thresholds, there's not going to be any effect whatsoever. So it's only an incremental tax on that above the 250 or the 500, depending on marital status and filing status. Let's take a married couple who earns $501,000 combined, and they file a joint return. That married couple is going to see an increase in their taxes, because the tax rate essentially on that extra $1,000, you know, above the 500,
right,
is going to go from 4.5% to 8%. So there's going to be a 3.5% additional tax or surcharge on that incremental income. Interestingly, though, when you go from 4.5% to 8%, that's nearly an 80% increase in the tax you pay. So on a percentage basis, it's pretty significant.
Yeah. A quick question back to marijuana, because we had a listener had a good question about employers. Can they do drug testing specifically for marijuana if this measure passed?
Good question. I don't have a quick answer for that.
Okay, and then getting back, I know we're quickly running out of time, and Proposition 208 would raise, I know there's some questions about how much this would raise for education.
So the...
I've got about 1 minute.
Well, I can answer it in 1 minute. So
okay,
the proponents say that it could raise $940 million.
Mm-hmm.
The legislative budget staffers recently put the number at $827 million. So we're talking, whichever number you use, of nearly $1 billion a year in additional revenue.
Don Luce, thank you very much. Good chatting with you.
My pleasure, Bill. Thanks.
Don Luce of the law firm Luce Law, with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. He is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are available in their second printing. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. And by the way, we kind of ran out of time here with Don about the Proposition 208. We've had segments just in the last week or so with both the pro and con on that. You can find out more about that by going to kvoi.com. We've got all of our interviews available for you there, including those about Prop 208. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Attorney Don Luce, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.